We greet each one this evening in the name of Jesus. One of the verse I really had thought about here in the reading of this scripture was verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I wonder sometimes if we are ignorant of Satan's devices. That's the subject of our evening, Satan's devices. And you'll find that in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11. And maybe we ought to read that. If you want to turn to it, that would be good. It's not the right one.
Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
That's it. Thank you. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's the topic of our lesson tonight. You know, Satan's pretty tricky. He suggests about everything opposite of what the Lord would like us to do. You know, the Apostle Paul knew it, and he told the Corinthian church that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Tonight, we'd like a look at some of his devices. Not having a lot of education, I'll probably be going over some things a little backward, I don't know, but as I was studying this, you know, things that came to my mind, I just kind of jotted them down, and some of the things I read from other writers. You know, I'm sure that Satan loved to hear the Pharisees and all the people when they said, with Jesus' crucifixion, his blood be on us and on our children. No, when they said that, they didn't realize, I don't believe what all they were saying. And you know that Satan's not ignorant of our device. We're not ignorant of his devices. He has a way today, even with the children of Israel. They're having a lot of trouble over there. I just thought of one thing that was in our newspaper here some time ago, and that was, it was four different pictures. Maybe some of you saw that in the Evening Sun newspaper, but it was in there, three pictures of the enemies, and they were shooting missiles at Israel. And we know that was going on here a couple weeks ago. And the last picture showed Israel retaliating. They were shooting missiles back. And the captain below that said, Israel is shooting at their enemies. Israel is... I don't know how to say it right, but they're just, they're in a bad place right now. And, you know, they're just accused, just like Christianity is today. We're accused. Christians are accused of doing this and that, and anything that's Christian or anything that's from Israel is wrong. It seems that way. That's the way things are getting today. But, you know, Iran would like to see Israel put off the map completely. We're aware of that, I'm pretty sure. And I believe this is one of Satan's devices. Israel's suffering through it. Also, I want to look at a couple things here that the devil, I think, is working. You know, he has a lot of names. We could name him a lot of names. He started out as Lucifer. Satan, there's Satan's devices, there's the devil. And I think that Satan loves to stir up strife. If we go to 1 Peter 3, 8, and 9, we're not going to do that. But he says there, be all of one mind. And I think the devil is working hard on the church to lose its unity. You know what that scripture there in 2 Peter says? Contrarywise, we should have blessing. Bless each one, knowing that we are thereunto called, that we might inherit a blessing. Now there is a great need for unity if a church is to go forward. You know, one snowflake by itself doesn't amount to much. It's beautiful, but it doesn't do much. But you put a bunch of them together, and they can soon have some great results. And so it is with unity. Now, the Hebrew word for unity is Yaakov, and it means togetherness, harmony, a oneness. And it's going to affect your and my talk, and it's going to affect our walk. It's going to affect our faith and our attitude. We need to have unity. Can a church prosper without unity? Can a family? It doesn't go so good. We need to have unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring, or trying diligently, or making an effort to keep unity. And that we need to have in the church. Being knit together in love, Colossians 2:2 says, one long thread isn't much to look at, but if you look at an afghan, it's beautiful. We must learn that some things need to roll off of us like water on a duck's back. You know, it doesn't matter if we get the credit or not. Does it? Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren and sisters to dwell together in unity. You know, Satan doesn't like that. But we need to have unity. Everybody doesn't have to see exactly alike. We won't. We're all different. But yet we need to have unity. We need to have love for one another and togetherness. Doesn't it make you feel bad that Bradley left the church? It should. How about our tongue? You know, Satan likes us to use our tongue pretty carelessly sometimes. It isn't so much what we take in, the Bible says, but it's what comes out of our mouth. Our brother mentioned that this morning. It's what comes out of our mouth. You know, Satan uses our tongue far too often. I think it's another one of Satan's devices. Galatians 5:19 is another one. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. They have to do with lustfulness. That's not for us to just go out with anyone or shack up with somebody. That's not what we are supposed to do, is to have a relationship of marriage. Well, you know, when we toy with these things, we're soon going to be caught in Satan's trap. Satan will enjoy that. He likes to see anything that would go against the Bible or what Jesus says. Satan's device, sometimes I believe, is in music. You know, I believe he uses this music to warp the minds of children, even teenagers. I believe it's sometimes we hear it said, they'll get over it. But you know, that's embedded in the mind. When we listen to the wrong music. I was working in Spring Grove. It's been a while. It was when boom boxes were in style. We don't have that now so much. We have other things that took the place of the boom box. But there was a little fellow. I don't believe he was over 10 years old. He was walking around there with one of them on his shoulder, listening to it. And after a while, some heathenish music came on. And he said, "All right," he said. He just enjoyed that. But you know what made me think of? I'm afraid that someday, not far in the future, that boy will be surrounded by evil. Music can be a curse or it can be a blessing. The scriptures talk a lot about singing. The New Testament talks a lot about singing. Let's teach our children good hymns, good songs. "Yes, Jesus loves me." Songs like that. That will stick with them. You know, we can remember even ourselves some of the songs that we heard when we were little. They stick with you. But if you have that heathenish music, it's not going to work that way. You know, when we sing at the Hanover Hall, or if we sing in a jail or wherever, the old songs are still what they ask for if you ask them for selections. It's not the new ones, the new praise songs, but it's those old songs like "I Come to the Garden Alone" and some of those older hymns. You know, singing ought to be a part of us. But let's use the kind of singing that will bless the soul. The things that'll bless the soul. That's what we need to do. Satan's devices. You know, some of those devices might not always be easy to detect. And some people think that Satan is just, I don't know, some kind of a thing, not a person, but he's a real person and he's after us when we're followers of the Lord. I read this here about Jeffrey Haddon. He conducted a poll of Protestant ministers, and one of the questions was, "Do you believe in Satan and his evil powers?" Over 7,400 ministers responded. It's almost alarming. The Methodists, 62%, believed in the devil and Satan himself. The Episcopalians, 37%. The Presbyterians, 42%. But this really surprised me. The Baptists was 33% believed in Satan. I wonder tonight how the Church of the Brethren, how they'd come out. You know, if Adam and Eve would be living today, they would believe in a real devil. The Apostle Paul did in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He says, "Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered me." You probably asked sometime in your life, I guess all of us probably did, why did God create Satan anyhow? Why do we have Satan? Well, he was one of the highest ranking. You go back to, Jeremiah or Ezekiel, one of those books that tells about him. He was one of the highest ranking angels. He had beauty. He had intelligence. But one time, somewhere along the way, he rebelled against God. He was cast out of heaven. Some people think that the less we know about him, the better off we are. But I say we ought to know all we can about him. We need to know about Satan and about all his tricks and his devices. You know, we want to serve the Lord. We want to be faithful to him. But Satan comes along, and the temptations sometimes almost overtake us, don't they? I said one before, sometimes Satan sneaks up on us and catches us even when we're not aware of it. Much like a man that I read about who pulled his car into his driveway and he noticed a bump in his car when he pulled in there. And after examining, he found out that one of his tires had a big lump on it. And even though the tire looked like new, the tire had a bump on it. Here it was a nail sticking in this tire. And you know, if you're acquainted with tires at all today, they have steel belts, they call them, steel belts and built into the tires. And a nail rusted the steel belts and caused that tire to open up. The rubber, it took over. And that's the way Satan works sometimes. Sometimes it's hidden for years. Just a nail and a little rust. Doesn't take much sometimes for Satan to get a hold of us. Listen, regardless of your heritage or your environment or your training or your past victories even, we got to be alert and aware of Satan's devices. Don't you ever think, don't I say this to myself as well as you. We don't ever feel like we can handle everything by ourselves. We can't. We need to have the Lord. I can take care of myself. I know when to stop. No. Satan doesn't give up that easy on us. More than one person has said such words, only to find that they were no match for Satan. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what else? The flesh is weak." Billy Sunday was asked why he believed in a literal devil. "Two reasons," he replied. "The Bible says so. Number two, I have done business with him." Notice the word "woe" in the scriptures. I mentioned that, I think, when I talked before. It suggests grief, sorrow, misery, and fear. Why that warning? Because Satan is come down here on earth, and we must prepare and guard against him. Always. Always. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness, in the lap of the wicked one, in 1 John 5:19. The devil has been here for over 6,000 years, and he's been fighting and living and luring mankind. He started in Mother Eve back in Revelation 12. It said he has great wrath. He's mad at God, mad at the truth, mad at righteousness, mad at holiness. The devil doesn't like for preachers to preach against him. I'm sure that this week I'll have a rough time because I'm preaching against the devil. Yes, he'd like to turn all of us away from God. You know, someone wrote that Satan likes to bring happiness. I want to share it with you. Don't let anyone kid you. You can be happy in Satan, but you really have to concentrate. Forget about the Ten Commandments. With Satan as your God, these commandments do not apply. You can kill, steal, commit adultery, lie, curse, envy, ignore your parents, law enforcement, ignore policemen, spit on them if you have a chance. Throw bottles at them. You don't need policemen. The devil is the protector. Traffic laws, jaywalk, drive through red lights. Drive on the streets the wrong way. Satan doesn't like restrictions. Health, express yourself fully, live fast. Ride the needle, smoke all you want, don't sleep, stay on the move. He promotes fast living. Ignore Calvary. Ignore that God loves you, gave his son to die for you. Ignore that God sent his son into the world to condemn you, but that you, through him, might be saved. Don't die. Because you're condemned to hell. You are just one heartbeat from that awful place. Be careful, because lung cancer and alcoholism are hard to cure. Don't run out of money, because Satan can make you happy only as long as you have a lot of money to spend. Face reality, because the Bible warns, sin brings pleasure, but it's only for a season. You will harvest what you plant. Jesus will bring real happiness. Don't let the devil confuse you. You will harvest what you plant. Jesus will bring real happiness. Don't let the devil confuse you and let you think that this world is here to have a lot of fun. What part does Satan have? Well, I wrote down some things that I believe Satan does have power to do. He has power to deceive. We find that in Genesis already, that he deceived Eve. He has power to counterfeit. Go to church, go to Sunday school, but don't get too serious about it. You know, God's too loving to send anybody to hell. And he won't. We go there by our own choice. He has power to bring affliction in Job 1. He has power to hinder in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Power to blind spiritually. You know, we can get blind spiritually. We have to guard against that. He has power to tempt. Matthew 4, verse 1. He lays snares. Snares all along the way. You know, David, I'm talking about snares now. David, he had the snare of fleshly lust. Demas had the snare of worldliness in 2 Timothy 4:10. We're not going to turn to these scriptures, but that's where they're found. Demas loved the world, went back to it. Judas had the snare of covetousness in John 12:6. He has power, so tares among the wheat. Matthew 13:39. Yeah, he has a lot of power, but I want to tell you something. How can we defeat him? We can defeat him. Many people who believe that there's a real devil often discount the warnings in the Bible. They flirt with temptations, take so little time to fortify themselves with prayer, Bible study, and worship. Satan is so clever that multitudes have become slaves to spiritual bondage. Many people thought they'd never be enslaved by smoking or taking drugs. They think they could break anything they wish, but that they discover that they are no match for the devil. He instigates wickedness of all kinds. He is the promoter of divorce and remarriage. He causes men to commit sin with men, women with women. He initiates gossip. He causes the bookkeeper to embezzle money. He drives wedges between husbands and wives. He promotes fightings among Christians. He initiates immodesty. And on we could go. The devil would like to throw down every God-given principle, but we can defeat him. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can defeat him. I tell you tonight, we need to be sure that we're on the Lord's side, not Satan's side. Finally, brethren, from now on, it's time that we use all the armor. You know, we read about that armor in the opening. When we use the Christian armor, We're going to put the devil on the run. Now, there are some who put a question mark on the Bible being God's final authority to man. We can put question marks around Bible principles. And next thing, we have a bunch of people who are not on fire for God. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Now here's See the right sights. We're going to look at, that's our eyes. See the right sights. Number two, exercise good thoughts. And that's our mind. Hear the right sounds. That's our ears. Speak the right words. That's our voice. Do the right things. That's our hands. Go to right places. That's our feet. Belong to Jesus. That's our heart. Can we conquer Satan? Yes, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Romans 8, 27. What is Satan's future? Matthew 25, 41. He's going to be cast into outer darkness. He'll be cast into a lake of fire, Revelation 20, verse 10. I believe that some of the worst suffering in hell will be regrets. Regrets of careless, unconcerned living, indulgent living. And I believe that there are going to be thoughts of how it could have been. We can defeat him. We might have to put up with him in this life, but dear ones, there's going to be a time when Satan's conquest is completed. It's over. He's doomed. I encourage us tonight that we stand on the Word of God, that we hold firmly to it, knowing that that's going to see us through to glory.